When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hola, chicos y chicas. Many thanks for joining me on the Joy of Paddle podcast, spreading and sharing the supreme delight of this wonderful and fast-growing game. I'm your host, Minter Dial, and this podcast is brought to you by Paddle 1969, the largest manufacturer of premium paddle courts. One Court for Life by Paddle 1969. The Joy of Paddle is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. For more information about this network, please go check out their site, evergreenpodcasts.com. So this is the second season for The Joy of Paddle, and as with last season, we'll be running an episode once every fortnight. Please let us know what you think about the show by putting up a rating and a review. Hey, here we go with episode number 3 of the second season of the Joy of Paddle podcast. And this one is with Luis Estrada. Luisito is the current number 1 male paddle player in the US. Coming from tennis, Luisito fell head over heels with paddle. He recounts how quickly it happened and his journey to becoming number 1 with partner Nico Agri. We talk about his transition from tennis to paddle, his experience of playing with the best in Europe, playing for the Los Angeles Beats of the Pro Paddle League, and the exciting prospects for a future of paddle in the US. A most joyful exchange. Vamos! Luis, Luisito Estrada, what a pleasure to have you on my show. It's not so often I get to talk with an American about paddle tennis, not platform tennis, not paddle. Estamos hablando de paddle. So, Luis, in your own words, who is Luis Estrada?
So, I'm now a professional paddle player here in the U.S., but as many people listening and starting to play right now, I was a tennis player too. So, I'm a normal guy. I used to be a really good tennis player. I still love tennis, even though I don't play anymore. And I was born in Venezuela, and now I'm living here in the States since 2015.
And you're in the sunny state of Florida, which probably means you get to play a lot of good outdoor, in-the-sun paddle.
Oh, yeah. Right now, the weather is amazing here. I think we have the nicest weather, for sure. Avoiding San Diego, taking San Diego out of the picture, I think we have the nicest weather in the States.
Yeah, you do. You're spoiled for that. So, Luis, your route to paddle, obviously you're a tennis player. It's interesting is that you're a doubles specialist, if you will. Getting into paddle, tell us about the moment paddle arrived in your life.
So I would say it was back in 2021 when they put the first courts at the USTA at the National Campus. And I think I tried one afternoon. So they put the courts. There was this crazy guy that has been here in Orlando for like 5-6 years trying to put courts and pushing the sport, and that I will see him playing paddle in the tennis court, hitting bandejas in the tennis court. And I got introduced to Marcos del Pilar. And Marcos del Pilar, from the beginning, when he saw me play, he said, like, you could be really good. It's a really good opportunity. And I got hooked, like, from the minute that I played, the first minute. Let's say I play on a Monday, and on Friday, I was getting certified to be a coach. Like, I was hooked. I wanted to grow the sport. I wanted to help. I wanted to get involved.
And is there anything in particular that made that hook happen? Was it the interest of a bandeja? Was it the walls? What is it that hooked you?
I would keep sometimes fitness in Venezuela when I was training. I would go play mini tennis and play colito, a mini tennis game. And I would say, I thought I was playing the same thing. Short court, a lot of hands, volleys, overheads. I said, like, I mean, this is perfect for me. I don't have to be running around grinding. It's like, this is my game. I wish I would have found this sooner.
So you play left, and
Yeah.
how tall are you?
No, not at all. I'm actually 5'8", 5'9". I haven't measured myself since I was, I don't know, like 17, 18. But yeah,
Well, you're
I was
still growing, Luis. You're still
like,
young.
nah, I'm not that young. I'm 25.
You're still growing, man. But to play left, that's a short size. I mean, Chingotto, he doesn't play left. Although there is someone who's been on the show, Patty Laguna. She plays left, and she's not the tallest woman on the corporate campus. Let me just say one thing. You still play some tennis, but not so much.
I still teach a little bit. Actually, my dad has a tennis academy here in Orlando, and we also run the Lake Nona Golf and Country Club. So I'm still involved in tennis, even though I'm not playing, I'm not hitting anyone, because I don't want to anymore. I'd rather play paddle. If I'm free, I'd rather play.
But what about when you get back on the tennis court? I mean,
Yeah.
I played a lot of tennis as well, and I have found that paddle can actually be really complementary, especially since I was more of an all-rounder on the tennis court. But at the net, I feel so much more comfortable. I was wondering what you feel. What has paddle brought to your tennis if you still play?
I agree. I think it helps a ton. Actually, I think paddle helps more tennis than tennis helps paddle, even though, I mean, people will get that wrong. But if you come from tennis, of course it's easier to get everything. But the thing that gets me, at least to me, is the size of the racket in terms of overheads and serving. If I go back to tennis and I start serving, it happened to me at the beginning when I was still like going between two. I will go back to tennis and play a set, and then I will go to play paddle, and then I was shaking every overhead at the top of the racket just because of the size. So I would say that's the only stopper that it wouldn't translate. Like, I mean, to play tennis to help you to your paddle, but besides that, I think it helps a ton. A
Right.
ton. Your
Well,
body.
yeah. Now let's move from tennis to paddle. Many people in this who are listening in the world come to paddle usually from tennis. I mean, I think that's the majority. And yet, while it's the same sort of ball, there's familiarity with the net. It seems so difficult to unwire the tennis player. What was your route to helping you stop doing half volleys at the back of your court? Think that the wall is your friend.
Correct. I mean, I couldn't agree more. That I think that's the number one stopper for even for. I wouldn't say for me because it was at the beginning, but I was fortunate enough to have Marcos at the beginning, and he said, like, listen, like, you're not gonna beat whoever plays paddle. You're not gonna beat them by doing this. So, yeah, I think my first year I didn't win a single match. I was winning matches, but against the good players, I was just letting the ball go to the glass. Even though I was lost, the ball was bouncing two times and I was still like going behind it. I was losing 6-1, 6-1. People will say, like, okay, but if you don't know how to play with the wall, hit it before. I'm like, no, I want to learn. I want to play the right way. And I think my first year, I lost every match 6-1, 6-1, 6-2, 6-2 against players that I play now, and I beat 6-1, 6-1 or 6-0, 6-0. I think that shaped the mentality of going right away, going into it, not being afraid of losing. At the beginning, getting used to the walls, being, I mean, therefore the wall needs to be your friend. So letting the ball go, playing slower, knowing when to go, knowing when to stay. So I would say Marcos helped me a lot in there.
La pared de su amiga.
Es tu
And
amigo.
yeah, but the interesting thing is letting yourself lose. When I practice, even before warming up, one of the things I do is I always let the ball go through. And if it double bounces, okay, I'm learning the court, right? The speed of the
Backwards.
ball and what's happening off the back wall. And then when we get into the game, letting balls through, even if you screw it up at the beginning, you're learning what's happening.
Exactly.
The fear is when you have this hard spin, like a lefty, for example, hits
Exactly.
this hard shot, and you're like, uh-oh, it's going to be dangerous. I better cut it off.
Cut it off
But
or ball it or
you're never going to learn what the shape of the ball is when it comes off the back wall.
I agree. And the angles, the different angles, when they play with slides or when they play flat, is completely different when they play underspin that it was gonna die, so you gotta get behind it, get your paddle down, you're gonna be waiting on it. So yeah, I mean, a lot of things, learning how to defend the rudo, I mean, a lot of things, but it's just patience. As long as you have a good coach and you're patient, and you're, I mean, consistent, I think everybody can learn the walls.
One other thing that strikes me that's important in paddle is watching the racket on the ball of the opponent. In tennis, I mean, my eyesight's not even good enough really to see exactly what's happening, but you get a shape, you get a grip. In paddle, it's so close and so visceral. You have to be sort of eagle-eyed watching him or her, where they're stroking the ball, which angle, and how it's going to, and then, you know, if they're going to do an amago or, you know, a deceitful
Effect, learning
shot.
effect pump. No, all of that. I think fortunate enough I got it from tennis. I mean, reading the little things about the serve, I mean, not to see where they're going, to have a better return, trying to take time away. But all of those things, like, I mean, you gotta get them. You gotta get them to have an edge. Otherwise, that way you can counter, you know where the ball's gonna go. But yeah, I think it's important that the little by little people start learning that.
All right, so playing paddle in America, 2021. My cousin Nelly, who lives in Miami. I don't know if you don't if you don't know him, you
Yeah,
should go check him out.
no, I know Nelly really well. He's trying
Oh,
to get me through
good.
Miami. He's trying to get me through
Arr!
paddle.
Pull yourself. They've got the biggest center in the world apparently coming up. But the challenge must be finding the coaching, and getting the good tournament work in. Because it's one thing to be, I mean, America's a big country, the number one in America. But really, at the end of the day, if we look at it in the universe of paddle, it's a small puddle compared to the
Agreed.
big lake that is Spain and Argentina, and even, you know, Sweden and the, you know, the countries where you have thousands of courts. So how do you, Luis, figure out how to be get better, work better? If you're the number one in America, what are you doing? How do you work it?
So basically my partner and I, Nico and I, this preseason we did it in Madrid. We were in Madrid for a month. We were with Seba Nerone every morning for a month. We got to train with all the top players. We got to train with Coelho, we got to train with Paquito, with Sanjo, with Garrido, with Yanguas. I
Who,
mean,
by the
and
way, just beat
just won, just a big
Juan
Alan.
and Ali. Oh, la 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 la.
I
Ole, ole.
mean, it was basically a 3v1. It was Galan against LeBron, Yanguas, and Garrido because LeBron was not in it.
Yeah, that
And we were
happens.
watching a little bit. And I mean, yeah, so we got to train with we can say, the best players in the world. I mean, we got to be with Coelho in the court. We trained for an hour and a half. And I mean, the step above the top 30 to the one is different. They play another sport. But then below that, there's a gap where we can compete, we can be there. We got some good wins. We beat a couple top 60, top 50s, and then below that, then no chance. But in order to be at that level, we need to play that level consistently. And we're just, I mean, I'm honest with ourselves. Like, we're not never going to have it here in the US, at least in the next 5 years. In order to train at that level, we're not going to have that many players. So, of course, we need to go out. We need the help to go out and. Is starting at I mean, in some way, because we know we're not gonna have that jump, but I think in the next 10 years, I think the US is gonna start catching up for sure.
We're going to get to the PPL in a moment, but what do you think to differentiates the number 30 from the number one? What is it the difference?
I mean, so many things. The way they play by memory. The ball is always this close to the net. They're not missing. They're countering every shot they have. If your bandeja is decent, they're gonna. If it's not perfect, and if it's not good enough, giving not enough rebound, it's another thing. Like, they're playing a different game. They're playing a different game where they can do whatever they want with you.
It's
So.
isn't that funny when you're playing, and I'm imagining that, you know, for the vast majority of your experience, when you're coaching or playing with other players, you know, someone like me, you see the ball 4 minutes before I've hit it. You have a cup of tea, you're drinking it, and then, oh, you stroke the ball back and you come back. It's completely the reverse when
It
you're playing with
reverse,
a
yeah.
quail.
Correct. I mean, and not only that, like that's one thing we were surprised. Mostly Garrido, Yanguas, and Coelho, the speed that they play when they're defending, it's not like they're saying, like, oh, guys, you gotta play slow, whatever. No, it's the complete opposite. They were playing so fast that basically your volleys, you cannot actually step into them. You're always blocking it. So that's one thing that surprises, and we know we need to work on. Basically, we cannot actually take long swings and cut the ball at all. We gotta just block the ball and basically keep our position because they're playing so hard and so, I mean, so low to an end, you cannot do anything. And not only that, you would think, oh, they're playing hard. Why don't you let the ball go and then counter? We tried that, and then the ball was not giving rebound, was low. We were getting there, but when we were getting there, they were both at the net and they were hitting the crap out of it and getting us, I mean, giving us tattoo all over the place. I got two tattoos by Coelho, one or two by Yanguas Agarrido, I mean, for everybody. It's crazy. But I mean, we
That's
had a great experience and we're looking forward to doing it again.
well, and the other thing is the fantasia. I mean, you know, those, you know, no look shots, the, you know, Ali Galani is kind of just ridiculous how
And I mean,
he can hit
he,
balls.
I mean, he's impressive, but also when we play Sanyo, I think he was the one that impressed me the most. He could do anything he wanted with the ball. Like, I mean, Paquito, I know what to expect from him, the rulo, the pegada, the chiquitas with the backhand, but Sanyo impressed me the most. Like, he had the ball here and he could do six different things, and you never know because he was hitting the ball here every single time. He was not hitting Bajas from here. No, he was hitting the ball shoulder height, and he could do anything. Straight on the line, to my chest, middle, to Nico, or the angle, or left on the line, left cross, where he had everything from the same spot. So I couldn't read it.
Beautiful, Sanjo Gutierrez.
And
So, what about what style of a player would you characterize yourself? You're obviously not a tall, pegado, but are you hitting por tres? What sort of a style of player are you?
I mean, I still hit it. Also a little more like Coqui
No, he's good.
Nieto. I mean, I'll still hit it. I still hit it, but I would say the closest one will be like Coqui, working the point, moving the ball, playing a little more smart. But more like
He's
that.
a fun player. I've enjoyed meeting him. And if you had an animal, if you were to describe yourself as an animal on the paddle court, do you have an animal in mind?
I would say more like a tiger, waiting his chance. I mean, super fast and waiting his chance to finally attack.
Yeah, is that isn't that is it is such a different thing. Is that that patience, right? To
Waiting,
find your
waiting.
moment to pounce.
I agree. I agree. Waiting. And I think we've been doing good. Hopefully, now we added new tools coming from Spain, from Nerone, and we're waiting to travel more and show those skills because here in the US we know we have only one or two teams that have challenges. Like besides that, we know we're winning most of the matches.
Well, and with Marcos, you've created this professional paddle league, the PPL, Pro Paddle League, and I say it's a very exciting format. Tell us about your experience in the first season and what's going on in the second season.
I mean, amazing. It was an amazing experience playing for a team, not for yourself. It's like college tennis and something that I didn't have, but I had in Venezuela playing for our city, our country. But I think it's something great because here in the US, people feel identified with their city. So if they know they can root for something more than just a player, they can root for their city. I think it's something perfect here for the American market. And I mean, last season was great, was in Tampa, but this season we're gonna be playing in Miami and then in Los Angeles, which is, I think, is gonna be great. A lot more teams coming, the players. I think I can, yeah, when are we gonna post this? Because I think I can tell you the my teammates.
It'll be coming up in nearly 2 weeks' time, so.
Perfect. So I can tell you my teammates. So we're gonna have Tolito Aguirre
Oh my God, he is such a magician.
as my teammate, and besides that, we have Javi Leal.
Nice. Yeah, he's a pounder. He has a
Yeah.
great overhead. He's strong.
Yeah.
He's very tenacious. Well, that's good. Clearly, having these injections into your
Yeah.
team and to have to play against in the US market, that not only brings attention to the game,
Yeah.
it's going to up your level because you can't
Correct.
just go to those are that's real stuff.
No, that's real stuff. And I mean, Seba Perón is coming back as a coach. Then we have, for the women, we have Jessica Castillo,
Nice,
which
Jesse.
is,
Nice.
she's getting better and better. And then we have Elia Maitrey and Carolina Orsi. So we have a good team. Even though we're talking that we are gonna rotate, whatever, we know that the team is gonna be Tolito and Javi. I know I'm gonna play a couple matches. But of course, that's going to be the main team. Hopefully, we can get to the PPL Cup that is going to be in New
Nice.
York, and then we can fight it off.
And something I like, I mean, I also like the Hexagon Cup that they
Yeah.
just did as well. That's a very exciting format, the mixity of women and men.
Yeah.
It's bringing joy to paddle at a professional level.
Yeah, no, and it's exciting. It's not just like you're just watching a player and then they're gonna play tomorrow. No, you gotta wait for to see the team and see what happens. And the fact that it's a league and it's not just a tournament. I mean, even though they haven't announced. I think they announced it, but it hasn't been clear. People are still a little confused. Every week it's gonna be like a mini tournament. Even though we're gonna be playing against each other for a league, there's still gonna be prize money at the end of each week.
Nice.
So
And
it's gonna be.
all right. So, Luis, you've been playing now for 3 years, probably roughly. What's
Yeah.
your favorite shot, and why is that your favorite shot?
Favorite shot. I mean, I think it's still volleys. My volleys are really good.
Height, cut.
Yeah, cut, and I mean, I give that much rebound. People
Nice.
usually, as soon as if I'm feeling it, they don't play low to me, so they start going to Nico, and then they start hitting lobs, and then it's okay. I start working.
Well,
So
but
yeah,
I
my
mean, of
volleys.
course, but when you're playing, how do your volleys match up when you're playing like a Yanguas or, someone like that? I mean, do you feel like you're in there?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. In Spain, I was still doing damage to all of these guys. I mean, Garrido
Nice.
was getting pissed when we were training. He was hitting the racket. Uto Paquito was winning points. Sanjo was winning points. Coelho was winning points. So yeah, for sure, volleys is my shot.
Ah, that's great. Good on you. And what about a shot that you need to improve on?
We improve one. I mean, I would say still defending, even though I'm defending. I was defending Paquito. I don't know what happened that day when we trained with Paquito. I was defending his view, but like nothing until the second day that we trained. He said, like, okay, you had a good day. Let me show you how it is. And then the next day,
Ah,
then the
you
next
turned it up a
day,
level.
yeah. Then I couldn't, I wouldn't see the ball. But yeah, I mean, I would say defense still can get better. Because I still feel that even though now we're playing with the walls and everything, at that level, still we can defend better. I mean, playing this close to the net, low to the net, not giving that much height when we're defending, not creating spaces, playing to the body, all those sort of stuff.
Yeah, one thing I when I'm playing on the left, if they allow me, because I'm an old guy, but when you got those V-boys coming in and the ones that go all the way up to the side netting, those ones, you're up there, you're following it, and then all of a sudden, fuck, it's past the wall.
It's past, yeah, past all. So you gotta take it before,
Ah. And then you gotta, jam it before. All right, so what about on the pro tour? Do you watch a lot of the pro tour?
yeah, a lot, all of it, I would say.
It's so entertaining. Who are your favorite players and why?
I mean, my favorite since the beginning was Galan, just because I didn't know anything about the beginning, but he's the one that I saw that I had. It was more classic. It was more like Fed. More classic, cleaner shots. Then little by little, I started seeing that he's, I mean, the best and good, really good left side player. But the other one that I started liking a lot was Tapia, way before he started playing with Coelho, with Sanjo. I mean, he was doing some stuff that the little things, changing the pace. Bringing the players certain spots to actually counter. It was the little things that I started seeing. It was like, oh man, he's actually doing everything for a reason, and not many people do that consistently. So I think Tapia is another one that is really, really good.
Yeah, both of them pull rabbits out of hats on a regular basis.
But actually I like them not only for the for those but for the crazy shots. It's more for the little things that people see, like how they stand, shots that you would think, oh, that's a normal shot. He's just hitting a shot. But no, it's those little things that actually get my attention from them.
Is there something specific that you could teach us about that little things that they're doing? Because from the naked or the amateur eye, when you look at Garani, you're like, oh my God, that's just crazy, and the big shots and the Fantasia. But what are some of the little things that you are looking at as a pro, as number one in the United States? What intrigues your eyes?
I mean, one thing that has been getting it's bugging my mind a little bit for the last 6 months is basically the steps that they do, how they move. They're not moving lateral. I mean, lateral ever. They're moving always in V, falling back. How they are when they're falling back, they can still play low or they can go with a lob. So basically, they're faking you like they're gonna play a lob and then they play. I mean, a chiquita, and they crash to an end. So basically, by that millisecond that you're leaning back, already the guy at the net, they can step back too. So by the time you're playing forward, you're running, you gain that edge. You gain that a little bit of space to hit with more margin and to be able to walk forward. Those little things is the ones that I look for the most because I always have an advantage.
That transition when you want to jump in and go from the back to the front, it seems obvious, but what you're talking about there is this sort of deceit that
Correct.
they're pretending to pop up a lob, but then all of a sudden it's a cheeky and they're up on you for the next shot.
All those little things, because right now the game is so fast that if you play normal, if you're playing low all the time, everybody's hitting crazy volleys now. They're not even volleying. I would say they're slapping the volleys. So the points are, if you're not playing like we're saying, like this low to an end, the games are going super quick. Like against Coelho and Tapia, if you're not lo lobbing, if the lob is not like this close to the wall, they're hitting it, they're winning it. If you're playing this high over the net, and they're slapping it and winning it. So you gotta find ways
Inglaterra.
to, chancletazo. Yeah.
It's fascinating. At the same time, I continue to believe that for us mere mortals, it's better to have the ratio that I tend to encourage is 70% of your shots should be high margin of error. Just push it back, move it to the space, and then 30%, you're trying to do something.
No, is it 100%? I would never recommend anybody to do the things that we're talking about. Like, no,
Yeah.
you put the ball in play and have fun. I mean, put the ball in play. You're gonna win. Whoever is winning at the amateur level is the one that is putting more balls in. Like, it's not about the chiquitas or if you were coming in and hit a good ball or if you hit an angle or if you hit a por tres. No, it's not about that. It's about who's moving the players better, who's making them move and miss more or create higher percentage shots. But the more you move them, the most likely is they're gonna hit a bad lob and then you can put it away. Then you can go for your portraits if you want. But it's all about moving the players and not missing at all.
Yeah, Nelly drove this into me. He said, in French at the time, of course, but it's better to be unhappy about the unforced errors than happy about the winners.
Agree. I
He's
agree.
so good. All right, how about a this is the joy of paddle, Luisito. And what is the funniest moment that you've had on a paddle court in the last 3 years that you've been playing?
Funniest. The funniest, or yeah, let me see. Let me see. I mean, I would say that the funniest for sure was playing PTO with Sebanet on it. I mean, in between points, he was just cracking jokes. And even though PPO was the funnest, even though I don't play on the right, in the PPO I play on the right because Neronio was on the left. Even though last match we switched, I play on the left and he played on the right because, I mean, I didn't really have no defense on the right. And we switched and we actually beat Las Vegas in that one, the men's. We beat the winners. We beat Vega, Guga, and Pablo Mora.
Watch out, Las Vegas this year, eh?
Yeah, I mean, Las Vegas is going to be tough. Martita and Cardona. It's gonna be tough.
Ortega, but the notion of communication is critical, right? This talking piece. And I don't know how it's like in the US, but in England, where I play a lot, we don't talk. It's like, wait,
You're playing
we don't.
tennis.
We're playing tennis, we have a beer, but what about on the court, in between points, during the points?
Yeah,
Where's the
of
talking?
course. Yeah.
What's it like in the US, and is it a problem, and how do you get people to talk?
Yeah, so that's one thing we encourage a lot. I mean, we Nico and I were ambassadors for Padel House, and also in the tournaments. In Padel House, we at the beginning when we were giving clinics and I mean seeing people play, they're like, guys, like if the other ones are coming in, you can actually talk here. Like, this is not tennis. It's not gonna be a let. You can actually map out where they're gonna be, so your partner knows what they're gonna do. But here in the US, I would say it's getting better. In Miami, it was already good because a lot of, I mean, it's a Latin community, so you have a lot of Argentinians, Spaniards. But I would say the rest of the US, like San Diego, New York,
Vegas.
yeah, Vegas, Houston was already big. Dallas, they have now two clubs. There's good. But I would say it's not that bad. I would say if you're telling me that in England it's like that, then we gotta go there and teach them. So they see us
I think
playing and
we need
screaming.
to pull the legitimate cork out of the ass and get excited and enjoy talking. What about in your 3 years that you've been playing, Luisito, relative to maybe your whole experience in tennis as well as paddle. What life lessons have you learned on from paddle tennis?
I mean, I was able. Paddle changed my life for sure. I was in a point that I was done with tennis. I was just teaching, and then the fact that I'm open to competing again. I would say it's such a fun sport. I would say it's the best thing has happened in my life. It's social, super easy to learn, really hard to master. I learned so many things about, I mean, it's a new phase. I gotta play completely different. I gotta be patient. Even though I was already patient, you can tell anybody, I never make faces or I never get mad. I'm always laughing. But it's a different mindset. So I'm happy to be here, to be helping paddle grow in the US and to keep pushing it.
That's beautiful. The last guest on my show is Jack Binstead, and Jack plays adaptive paddle, which is playing in a
Oh.
wheelchair. And
Yeah.
he explained how paddle changed his life too.
Yeah. No, 100%. And here, actually, I think the only adaptive courts in the US, we have them here in Orlando.
Nice. Well, I get
Yeah,
Jack. Hey, let's go to Orlando
yeah.
next. Or you find a
Yeah,
way
you
to
can
get
go to
Jack.
Orlando.
Yeah,
Yeah,
to
you can go to
Orlando. He'll
Orlando.
be happy. All right, beautiful. What about the future of paddle in the United States? What do you think?
I think we're Paul and BA, we're doing an amazing job of creating the coaches and giving them the right tools to learn and to, I mean, be good paddle coaches and not tennis coaches in the paddle court,
Yeah.
which I think is really important. We're under the umbrella of the USPTA, which I think is the best association for coaches to get them certified. There's another one that is not the best, but I think the only thing missing here in the US is courts. We need courts. We need courts. We need more American people playing. We need people getting involved. We know that the Latin community is there, and that's fine. It's always going to be there. But for sure, we need more American players getting involved, getting to know paddle, not thinking that it's a foreign sport. Like, they need to start feeling that it can be also theirs, and they can have that feeling of belonging. It's not like, oh, we're gonna play with the Latin guys. No, we're gonna play and have fun with our guys.
Well, I know in I go to the States as often as I can to see my family, but in Philadelphia it's beginning to boom. I play in New
Yeah.
York whenever I can, and there's burgeoning. It's not just Latinos or Mexicanos or whatever.
Yeah, no,
There's
it's getting better.
regular Americans playing, and so many good athletes, and it is such fun. So I'm very excited to have had you on the show, Luisito.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for
What's
having me.
the last word for you on paddle and Luis's life?
You're gonna have me for a while. I think I'm gonna stick around. You're gonna see me. I don't know where the future is gonna put me, if I'm still gonna be here in Orlando, hopefully, which I love, or I'm gonna move, at least if Nale pulls it off. But I'm gonna be involved. I'm gonna be involved. You're gonna see me around, whether it's I hope that I can have a decent career. Whether it's here or also traveling outside, whether it's FIP or A1 or Premier, who knows? But I also want to help the sport here, whether it's with Paddle NBA, getting more coaches, or running clubs. You're going to see me involved.
Well,
So
I certainly hope to see you on a court sometime soon, if you'll allow me.
of course.
Luisito, how can someone follow you? What's the best way to connect with you if you like it? Are you social?
Yeah, of course. So my Instagram is Luisito Estrada, and you can find me there. If you need anything, you can send me a DM or anything, and I'll sure respond to you.
Well, it's been a pleasure. For those of you who aren't on video, you've had a continuous smile. I've enjoyed myself with you, Luisito. It seems that you are enjoying yourself with paddle.
Yeah, of
It's
course.
been un placer.
Ah, el placer es mío. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me here, and hopefully we can do it soon in a couple of years.
I love that. Thank you.
So I hope you've enjoyed this Joy of Paddle episode. Please don't forget to subscribe to be the first in queue for the next episode. And if you like what you hear, please do share around with other paddle aficionados. This is a sport that deserves to be played by absolutely everyone. And if you've got a story that you'd like to share, please send me an email, or better yet, a voice note at nminterdial@gmail.com. With that, thanks for listening, and see you on the next episode of the Joy of Paddle podcast. Vamos!
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!